Fong Dun Sheng hoisted his gold mountain bag onto his shoulder and nodded one last time to his wife, daughter, and number one and number four sons. He turned and began the half-day's walk to Fatsan, where he would board a sampan and float east through the Pearl River Delta to the big city of Canton, then south to Hong Kong, where he would board a ship for Gam San, the Gold Mountain. Fong Dun Sheng and his second and third sons padded single file along the raised pathways that divided the pale green rice fields that lay just outside the protective wall of Dim Tau. How long, he wondered, would it be before they returned home? Fong Dun Sheng had heard of other men who had made their fortunes as Gold Mountain men. Defying the powerful ties of family tradition and the more tangible threats by the Dowager Empress of death by decapitation for leaving China, many men had gone looking for gold. It was said of Gam San that a man could find pieces of gold as large as a firstborn son lying openly on the ground for anyone to pick up and keep. Now people talked about this railroad and jobs to be had for any man who was willing to work hard. In his village, the men guessed that even if you couldn't save 1,000 American dollars, you would make at least 800. Fong Dun Sheng shifted the weight of his basket from his right shoulder to his left. He was lucky. He was being given a free trip to the Gold Mountain, and he and his sons had already been promised jobs. These had been harsh years for his family. Dim Tau was a poor village, and this branch of the Fong family was one of the poorest. Fong Dun Sheng didn't own land, not even one miserable mu, in a time when the whole world knew that at least 3 mu were required to sustain a single life. He couldn't rent land, for he was too poor even to buy rice seed. He was an herbalist, trained in an art many thousands of years old. From his father he had learned that the most important thing in the universe was qi, the essential life force, and that the balancing of qi was imperative to maintaining good health. He had learned to envision the human body as a universe containing the 5 elements, wood, fire, earth, metal, and water, and that each of these elements governed a corresponding organ, liver, heart, spleen, lungs, or kidneys. If any of the 6 essences, wind, cold, summer heat, dampness, dryness, or fire, became overbalanced, then a body would weaken and fall prey to disease and illness. He had learned all this from his father, and in these past years, Fong Dun Sheng had been teaching his sons. Fong Dun Sheng was a traveling man who, with his older sons, wandered from village to village throughout the countryside. On good days, villagers clustered around as his sons beat gongs to announce their arrival. Then they laid out mats and blankets on the rough dirt outside a family association house, inside of which the births and deaths of all of a village's ancestors were carved into stone and mounted on cool walls. Perhaps it was this close proximity to the thoughts of ancestors, or perhaps it was the kung fu that Fong and his sons performed to attract children and old people. He couldn't say now. But for many years, as he tossed a son through the air or moved himself through the exercises based on the movements of the deer, bear, tiger, monkey, and crane, which would be restorative for rheumatism, arthritis, digestive disorders, and chronic fatigue, there had always been customers. At the end of the exhibition, Fong displayed his herbs. Women clustered around. "What may I take to help make strong the son who grows in my belly?" a woman heavy with child might ask. He would give her a packet of ground peach pit, tiger thistle, and the leaf of the pagoda tree to facilitate blood circulation. "Healthy parents have healthy children," he liked to say. "If you keep your blood strong, then your children will go through life disease-free and have healthy children of their own." For women who would not stop bleeding after childbirth, he prescribed brews made from Japanese catnip, turmeric, and safflower. He was ministering to a woman with boils when the railroad scout spotted him and asked if he would like to go to the Gold Mountain to help the Chinese laborers when they got sick. "The coolies don't trust our Western doctors," the foreign devil rattled off in tones that Fong could not understand, but which were translated for him by a Chinese helper. Fong was told that the railroad company would pay for his passage, his herbs, and his knowledge. He didn't have to consider this proposal very long. He knew what his life had been like in the last few years. As his family had grown, as his sons had asked for wives but could not afford to pay the bride price for a proper wife, or even to buy an unwanted girl as a concubine from a family even more desperate than his own, Fong's business had become more difficult and customers harder to find. Some of the reasons for this he knew from gossip, but how could a grown man trust gossip? Fong Dunsheng was an unimportant man who could neither read nor write, so he had to trust gossip, and what he saw with his own eyes.